The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't fence corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in his true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ through his minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode. We believe you'll be richly blessed.
You have offered in all your ways to us. You are perfect in all your ways. Our Father, the Father of Jesus, the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of Jesus the Christ. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. We give praise to you. We appreciate your name today. We exalt your name, Jehovah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's another season of the year to celebrate Jesus and celebrate ourselves in Jesus. It's a time to feast together, to enact certain realities about us that is major. That is major and that must be kept. Like God gave Israel 7 feasts in the year to observe, and three of them, they have to migrate from anywhere they are on the face of the earth to Jerusalem. Because those three feasts, out of the 7, those three feasts are like tripod upon which the nation rests upon. All the feasts are important, but those three feasts are very, very, very... What are the feasts? First one is what? First feast is what? Passover. What's the second feast? Pentecost. What's the third feast? Tabernacle. 3 of them now. Amen. 3 of them, everyone must ask them, have to migrate. So, Corn Feast is that major feast in the year that we celebrate ourselves in Christ. Amen. We celebrate Christ among us, Christ in us, and we celebrate ourselves as the fruit that God expects it to be enacted. Keep the feast. You have to keep the feast. You have to keep observing that feast, and that is another time of this year. And this year is always around corn, because what give back to all of us is the corn. Of the corn. And God bless Africa and Nigeria with so much corn. We have a variety of corn in Africa. Variety. It's only wheat that we don't have. But we have all kinds of corn. And the commonest one is the maize corn. Amen. And the maize corn, so every corn is corn. Praise God. So it is corn feast. It's corn feast. And I want us to celebrate our brotherhood. Say amen. Our brotherhood. So brotherhood is very, very, you know, it's not really a high preaching time. It's the time to celebrate all we've been learning that makes us, or that define us in the brotherhood. I like that thing, brotherhood. There's something upon the brother. There's a hood that must be on the brothers that makes you to have part. If you're not you're not in the brotherhood, you can't really say, you can't really assert that you have inheritance. That you are official in the inheritance of life. You can't say you are sure. It's when you are a brother or you are in the brotherhood. I say brotherhood, you are functioning in the brotherhood. Because by natural birth, you are a potential brother. Just like when you say, who is this, a small kid in the house here? Amen. You see someone like Charity. You say he's a brother. No, he's a brother, but he's a kid brother. You understand now? You can't say you are looking for brothers in church here, and you go to him. Can you see that? Amen. But when they want to count how many people in church, they count them also. They count males, they count females, they count children. To say how many people are in church today. Amen. But you can't be looking for brothers in the assembly and go to them. Here, you understand what I'm saying? So as they are like that in the natural, so also in the spirit. It takes time to have that hood. So some people constitute that hood that all of us are brought into. And now what they call them is brethren. Brethren, say amen. Amen. So let me just go. We're just going to, you know, talk a little bit today about that as we prepare for conference. I feel.
Hallelujah.
Say amen.
Amen.
You know, I just feel that Friday is not enough to handle all of these things. But since it's not really a serious teaching meeting, it's a time of sounding the alarm. It's a prophetic meeting. And so we are trusting the Lord that our spirit will, and so we hear the alarm. Amen. And I have to hear the alarm and migrate in line with the alarm. God designed ways for Israel to make movement. And for those who make movement, they were instructed to make two trumpets. Two trumpets, one for the calling of the assembly together. As each time they need to come together, one will sound. When you hear the second one, they are moving. So it means that the whole of Israel is around assembling a movement. That's what our whole nation is about. It's assembly and movement. So God instructed them and said, you're going to have two trumpets. If they blow, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shall thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. So that's it. That's what defines that thing called Israel. It's for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. They already know the order of journey. So when this somebody trumpets sound and you don't respond, you are left out. You are left out. Because when they encamp in a place, though they encamp by their tribe, but they are free to move around. You know, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. And that's where they live their normal life for 40 years. You know what I'm saying? Every time of their life, they was defined there. So they move out. But anytime before they move, they take movement, there will be alarm that has to do with God during assembling. So in assembling, everybody start to adjust everything. Then when it's time for movement, it's no more for adjustment, it's a time for movement. So when they blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blown but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. Amen. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part, can you see? But so as there were, as many as there were millions, they had no problem moving, organized. And the orderly moving can lead to death. When you want to move a crowd of more than 6 million people, that's large. I'm not sure the whole of Accra is up to 6 million. So imagine a movement that will take even the whole of Ondo of Akure. Talking about a movement that is going to like Ondo State. And the Lord was so perfect. That you are perfect in all your ways. That's all of Israel. Whatever it does, it doesn't give space for losses. It does it perfectly. And that's one of the things the Lord showed many years ago. He said, when I give you the way, when I lead you in the way, you don't count losses. He said, there are ways you can take, and 3 will succeed in the way, but 7 will have casualty. And you know, we are used to painting the success, we don't count the losses. But he said, I'm not like that. I count the losses. I want everyone. That's why we leave 99 sheep to go and take one. That's why the Lord began to talk about the fact that ministry, as building, raising people, it's not like ministry. A ministry can have outreaches and everyone's making noise. Yes, there are casualties. So, you know, when you look at people's life, you can see casualties on the way. As long as we have enough people that will keep on making the noise, ministry is still going on. But those who have casualty will be known in their homes. Say amen. You will know when a member of the home did not come back. If you don't know him in a crowd, but those who are in the same home will know him. That's why church is our home thing. You are dealt with in your name. It's your name, your name. You know, there are a lot of things that happen in scriptures, and they will say a woman, a man, a woman. Like the man that was robbed by robbers on the way to Jericho. What's his name? But when he gets home, he will have a name. And when he was describing ministry, he was out on the way to Jericho, and the Samaritan man came and took him to an inn. So it was ministry taking you from outside into the church. So on the way, they don't want to care about your name. You don't have a name. But when you get home, there will be a name. That's why Jesus went to the house of one man named Lazarus. And her sister was Mary and Martha. They have names. Anywhere there's name, Jesus stays more there. And Jesus stayed there. If you don't have a name, he will not stay there. He will just stop over and move. Anyway, you hear Jesus Christ abode and stay. Go and check. There is a name. So I'm saying, are you with me tonight? Praise the Lord. So when you say church, church is not multitude. Church is a place where you have a name. It means that you are in the system there, you have a name, when you are in the classroom, the mark register, Ademola Adeuga, present, you have a name. So in church, you must have such identity, you must not just be in the crowd. That's why when church is growing, it must grow by, the Holy Ghost, and also grow by doctrine. When there's Holy Ghost, there's man's garden. When there's doctrine comes, it prunes it down to a manageable size that can allow for building. So when you are not known with your name, nobody will ask you about your breakfast. So you know what I'm saying? Amen. That's why they know people whose place are not equal. For people, when they go on a visit and you give them food, they just say, is it okay? But in their heart, that's not their size. If their mother or brother should be there and it's not that size. Because he knows you by name. I know by your name that size doesn't. So church is a very serious place. It's not easy to, for ministry to move to church is a major transition. I must transit by that same wisdom of administration. Or else it will look like a chicken house. You know, chicken out, just feed them. Amen. Are you tonight here? So it's not easy, quickly easy to become, to be named a brother. Yes. It is the hood that defines those who are really called brothers. And so, we're going to look at that a little bit, like I said. Because it's important for us to connect to that spirit while we eat our corn, right? I know by now you're already fasting corn. So I can go through the, you need to fast corn, okay? Don't eat any corn for now. Don't boil corn. Don't just fast corn for some days. So I can go through the progression of the meal. How many people are in conference for the first time? Let me see your hand. You are in conference for the first time. Let me see your hand. Wow. Okay. So get ready for a beautiful time, okay? You're going to enjoy yourself. No dull moment. I trust Akure people. Like I trust them everywhere. I'm saying that. I trust you everywhere you are. I know you're going to make it a memorial time. Because it's normally a memorial time, okay? It's a season you don't want to miss again. But there's the spirit of it that we must have. But we go through that. We must keep. That's what we are really keeping. That's what we are really, really keeping. It's that feast. Like it says about, is it 1 Corinthians? Say Christ has been made to us as a Passover. He's crucified for us. Thank you, 1 Corinthians 5. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. As ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover, Christ is our Passover, is our unleavened bread, is our first fruit, is our Pentecost. Can you see that? But there's nothing particular about our Passover. But once we go through Passover, we move straight to unleavened. It is together. Amen. The first day Passover, the next day you move to unleavened bread. So, it's our Passover. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with the old leaven as if we never had a feast. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness or past life. But with the unleavened bread of what? Sincerity. And what, please? Because unleavened bread is the bread of truth. It's the bread of truth. Or bread of sincerity. That's why when you are in your Passover and unleavened bread, that's when you accept that Jesus died for sin. Your spirit believe it. Your soul acknowledge it. It's not a thing that your spirit only know. Your soul acknowledge that Jesus died for sin. No tongue there. No. Amen. It's a reality. That's why it's called the bread of sincerity and truth. But the heart is sincere about it. And that Jesus died for my sin. He sacrificed for us. sacrifice for me and for many. Say amen. Amen. So you can't use your new birth to superimpose on other people. The same way you were born again, saved, so also others are. You can't be more born again. Amen. What did I say? Come on, say it. Come on, say it again. And sometimes when you are in the world of going for perfection, there are some basics that you can de-emphasize and will be a problem to your journey. No, Passover is the first of the feast. Can you imagine first of the feast to the last one? The tabernacle, and you're supposed to keep. So when you are at tabernacle, you should be keeping your Passover, even at tabernacle. Yes, because it's part of you. So you understand why Jesus was very. How will I put it now? How the Lord was not pleased with the church of Ephesus. Why? They left their first love. That's why in most of the program of PhD, for example, they will tell you to still put in your own level. You must meet up your... I don't know if they've seen us today in Masters, but in PhD, you will put in your level first before your first degree and Masters. That's why if you have a problem with your level, maybe then they waive the course for you. That wave, they did for you. And you went to go and do remedia. You know, that kind of bypass. The bypass is no more common around there. I think it's in the north. But in the north, last year, Safra State only had 5 students and had 5 credits. In the whole state. Yeah. They had 5 students, had 5 credits. And they have many, many universities. They have at least, is it not 2 universities? They have, I know of a Federal Polytechnic in Karo, Namoda. They have college education, all of that. Like, and so they must have control. So remedial things is come over there. They will pack prelim. They will pack all of them to prelim and all of that. Amen. But if you want to move up to perfection, in academic, whatever their PhD is, perfection level, it's not professor, it's perfect, it's PhD. It's Nigeria that make professor a status. It's like what you attain in your progress, in your career. Okay, everything's available on internet. They have mentor institution. They have 2 universities, 2 polytechnics, and over 10 colleges of education, health, and agriculture. Can you imagine that? It's competition in Nigeria to get your own national cake. You don't have students. You are not raising a certain school system that can feed those schools. You're not raising a secondary school student. Nigeria must be regionalized. And it will be. Yeah. Let whosoever want to die quickly. So if you go through the system and went through a program in which you have 2 credit, 2-3 passes, you go and do prelim. And from prelim, I don't know if JAMB allows it now. I don't know if JAMB still allows it. I think JAMB has stopped that thing. Where you use prelim to cross to part 1. They'll still do JAMB. But what of all level requirement? I'm not in touch with those states anymore. Say amen. So if you climb up and somebody was wait for you at the level, we are going to get to perfection. Because here Jesus was actually pushing the churches to perfection. Okay, they were supposed to come to the true God so that I can finish the last work. They have, most of them have done the first work. They're supposed to finish the last works. They went back to start looking at their foundations. And because it's a total building, if the foundation be destroyed, the whole building is not going to have stability. Say amen. And because, just because of that alone, it was going to take the churches away. It means they can't, you can't represent me. If the spirit don't have what it takes to represent me, the devil will crush you. The dragon will crush you. So it was not like putting them away to hell. No, it's not rejecting to hell. It's that you are not worthy of me. Amen. Are we in the house together, please? So, every basic must be found in you. That's why, if you want to prove that you know it, what will you do? You go and do white again. And pass it and put it there. They won't say, they want to be, because now you are doing PhD, you should have known physics. No, it's not. That's an assumption. Can you see that? From an ordinary man, just feel like, for all the years he has been doing these courses, he has done biology. He shouldn't have a problem with biology. Having masters, no. Even natural institution will say, go and sit for the exam to show it. To prove it that it is true that you are beyond that level. Then put it there. So if man can do that for thoroughness, are you in the house with this? Then how much more in the spirit when the man will put on everything in you? So you got to keep all the feast. So when you see tabernacle is a summation, when you check them out, tabernacle, they have all the other feasts inside of them. As a proof that Jesus Christ is sacrificed for us, then keep the feast. That means that we won't find malice. So you can't say you are at perfection and we still find malice in you. It means you have left that feast. You kept it sometimes ago, but you have left it. Praise the Lord. That's why I'm just saying that all of these feasts must be kept. And so when we observe them every year, it's to ensure that, I have not put them away. Like Paul would say, lest I be cast away. Can you say, I put my body under, can you say, put it under means that I put on that rule to keep obeying all the discipline, lest I be cast away. And now Paul says that I do not beat as when I beat the air. I beat with sense of certainty. I never so wrong, not as uncertainly, so fighter, not as one that beated the air, but I keep under my body and bring it to subjection, lest that by enemies, all those things are keeping a feast. All those things you are reading in there is Paul keeping those feasts. That's why anybody in the spirit, moving the spirit, is a disciplined man. You have to be sober and be grave. Because you can get to a place and take things out. And you lose your ground in the spirit. Hallelujah. Lest that by any means that I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. And that one is to be disqualified from the crown. This castaway is not being sent to hell. It's not. Because I know there's a way the holiness movement do some of this preaching in the past. And so any small thing you do, you go to hell. No, it's not like that. God is not that unfaithful to forget your labor. No. And only that your class may be limited. So that I'll be cast away. So if I'm enlisted for crowning, and I'm rejected from my crown, then I'm disqualified, right? Then I am cast away. Hallelujah. Say amen. So because we are going for a mastery, we are going for mastery of life. That's why I like corn feast. Amen. We are going for Master of Life. So there must be timing when we keep feast and check it and check it. To be sure that we are not leaving anything back. And that we're getting right definition of our projection, of our progress in the spirit. Then we can be sure that, okay, we are not out of the way. Praise God. Out of the way. Not out of a way. Out of the way. But there are many ways that's made right to a man. There's a particular way called the way. That is the one that flesh reacts against. Like in the parable of the sower. You know the parable of the sower? The one that was that fed by the wayside. By the ways. That is out of the way. By the wayside. So wants to live his life along the way. He doesn't even want to keep the way. Praise God. But all these things is checkers. Adjust back. No one's adjust back. So I want to trust that we're going to do some adjustment in this weekend. Huh? Yeah. We're not just going to eat corn and laugh, all of that. We're going to do adjustment. Adjustment. We're going to see some of them happening through our brethren. I'm going to be reminded. And we'll quickly adjust. The myself, that's me. We die. Huh? Yeah. Amen. That's me. That's my no. Confidence take you out of yourself. In those days, everybody used to roast corn and share the corn. But we discovered that we are losing our corn. So we have given the corn now to professionals to roast. And that's why that you need to roast the corn and have in mind that I'm doing this for somebody. And do very well. But when so that those of you want to do very well, they don't have the grace to do very well. It's the way one of the son of corn just born. Born offering. We are not coming for that kind of but then we finish saying, half of our corn is wasted. Hallelujah. I want the house together, please. Let me read from Ephesians chapter 1 again. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. Blessed be the God. That's a very serious introduction. Blessed be the God. The God and Father. The God and Father, grace be to you and peace from God our Father. Huh? Our Father. I said the God our Father. Amen. God is our Father. Because he has fathered one being. He's fathered Jesus Christ. He is the God and the Father of our Lord. So you can see there, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That our Lord Jesus is our Savior, but our Savior was fathered by God. And that's why the Lord's Prayer says, our Father who art in heaven. Not my Father. Our Father. At the time Jesus was saying that, you know, he said in that same book, I go to my Father and your Father. So already he had in mind that it's not going to be the only one that will be fathered. He had in mind that we are going to be fathered. Say amen. That all of us are going to be fathered. So he has fathered him, but he has not fathered the rest. He's Lord over the rest. But they have not been fathered by the Father. So Jesus is meant to raise us to God to be fathered. Say amen. Amen. So So he told them, pray our Father. So it means that in the mind, when you say our Father, what in heaven? It connotes that we are all children of the Father. But when it says, I go to my Father and your Father, it divided again to know that though he's our Father, but in re-fathering, I'm the one he has fathered. And he will be your Father. There, you get it? So potentially, our Father. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Then I go to my Father, open that place. I go to my Father and your Father. Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. So it's not the same time that he actually fathered all of us. Amen. The fathering is at season, but collectively is our Father. So I'm just trying to say to us that the fathering is a program of God that is to come to everyone who believes Jesus. Everyone that believes Jesus should be fathered. You believe Jesus to be fathered. What did I say? I can't hear you, please. That's what makes Christianity a different thing entirely. So this is not an assumed fathering like God called Solomon my son. It's not like that. The issue of fathering in the gospel is a center cause of the gospel. That is why if you don't believe God is your father or is a father, you can't be a child of God. And that's why Islam pushes them straight against that. Straight against that. Because the core, not core value, core precept or core foundation of the gospel. The gospel is that God fathered Jesus. And Jesus became the Son of God. Or the Son of the Father. In truth and in love. Thank you. In truth and in love. The Son of the Father. God can't take anyone that has not been fathered. So you can't say Son of God if it's not first of all Son of the Father. So you say God does not father any man. Can you see that? So he went straight against the God's nature of fatherhood. So it means that you can't be born again. Forget that. Not talking about even that Jesus died on the cross. The core issue of the gospel is what it's centered against. That God is a father. That Jesus died on the cross. Buried and was raised from the dead. And there is a promised Holy Spirit. Three things. Three things that the head title of Christian faith stands on. That God is the Father. That Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And that he promised not a prophet. He promised another comforter. Who is a spirit, not a body. The three of them, he went straight against. To say God is not a father. To say Jesus is not on the cross. And that the prophet himself is the comforter. That must be intentional. That cannot just be an evolution. That must be an intentional thing. Consciously built against the Christian faith. That's why that spirit is an antichrist. Though it says that Jesus is Messiah, but the core thing about the Messiah, can you see, you fought against it. It doesn't make sense, but Messiah, now, the Jews don't believe that Jesus is Messiah. Their own is quite different. So that sin is blindness. Huh? They don't believe the Messiah. But for those who say it's Messiah, it's Christ, and to say it's not the Son of God, you already go against the prophets. So it's the spirit of lie. And that's why, because of that thing, it will be exposed and be ridiculed in the end of time. Yeah, that spirit will be mocked. Let it go and shed blood and shed blood. Shed as many blood. But I'm telling you, on the earth here, it will be mocked. Amen. Truth will make mockery of you. But you can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. So Jesus is the Christ. Is the Christ is very, very vital. So you can see here, it says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father. So you can see all of that are all around the gospel. All the pieces were introduced like that. But that is where our journey of identity start from. You can't say you are brethren if you don't have a father. So brotherhood, any brotherhood that span out without a source or without a father or Abba. Now, Israel believe God is Abba. I mean, they believe in Abba. That's why they call all their fathers Abba. Means Abba means source. Who actually is also sustainer. Abba. And they have great regard for Abba. Fathering is not simple. It's not simple. It's that you got your seed from your father. Say, hey man, either you are a man or a woman, it's your father that determines your gender. Your father gave you your gender. It's the father that made you a male or a female. Your mother only contributed to you in times of flesh. But your gender is your father. That's why it's the source. It's the source of who you are. And that's not ordinary. And God put that in human world. Because of the revelation, God could have made man like angels. It won't be that the mystery of fatherhood as bad thing. That is fatherhood as mentoring or raising. If a man raises you, they call him father. That is issue of sustenance in fatherhood. That's why a servant that has been raised by a master can become a son or an heir. Because he has obeyed the tenets of adoption. He can be an heir. So, in the past, fatherhood has been seen in that light much more. So, when if God, like the angel know God, God is a father. It's not just God, it's a father. Because all things came from him. But he didn't give back to all things. He created all things. So there are souls that come by creation and there are souls that come by birthing. But it came from the loins, not from the hand. So they have understood in the past the issue of coming by the hands, and God will still see them like he called them the morning star or the son of the morning. Can you see that? They are morning sons, which typify that God is the one who sourced them. I want the house, please. But they also know that they are not from God's loins. But they are the highest of things that God made. They have that identity of being close to God. Until God began to talk in the gospel about how he's going to come himself. The Lord will be a messenger. God himself will be the sacrifice. Can you see that? So the Lord will be in heaven and still be. How will that be? That's where the mystery of the gospel that has to do with birthing comes and say amen. So nobody can understand adoption in the gospel except by gospel revelation. Because adoption in the gospel has never been done this way. Adoption means that you are not of the breed of God. God brought you in. But for God to raise sons that has his nature has never been done. It is gospel that can explain it. That's why I say, God, a lot of them in the gospel be, it's because you are outside the gospel. When the gospel, we understand, but God did not, he didn't do a wuruju thing there. He did what you can understand. Even adoption that does not have to do with a seed is still understandable. That's why the legal world can accept adoption and give adopted children inheritance. Because it's logical that if somebody takes you in as a son and raises you, the mayor of you also is in that person. You know what I'm saying now? I want the house, please. But adoption as regard begotten. It's not seen in the word of the divine. It's only seen in the word of man. And so the gospel came to unveil that part and become the center core of it. So even if anybody does not believe in the Father, he can't say he's a Christian. So it's not part of those things you say, I will believe along the line. But the first thing preached to you is that all have sinned and come to the glory of God, and that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to lay down his life for us. And if you believe on him, your sin will be forgiven you, and you become a child of God. That through Jesus Christ, he will connect you back to that lineage. You know what I'm saying? That's the gospel preached to you. So you can't say you are a Christian or born again if you have not believed in that. Now, that is not just a mental thing you believe. It's a concept of life because you have been fathered in the flesh. You have a father in the flesh and you have your brethren in the flesh. In the flesh, you are maybe a Yoruba person, a Yoruba man, or Akure man. And you have the blood of the Akure people flowing through you if you are from Edo, if you are from whatever part of the world you are in. If you are an Indian, if you are a Palestine, you take the blood of your father. So it's by blood that you are fathered. Say amen. What I say? It's by blood you were fathered in the flesh. Even if another father took you and raised you, somebody gave you blood. That's that. You can't have illegitimate child. There could be an illegitimate marriage or union. So there's no bastard. You are bastard because you are not trained. You're not bastard by birth. A bastard is a man who is not raised. A man who resists raising is a bastard. Because every seed that gave birth to every human being came from a man. They have not finished their laboratory work where they can give seed. Amen. Oh, my. Are you ready to hear some satanic plot that just laugh? How would somebody be thinking about reducing the world population by 2 billion? It looks so real. You just sit down somewhere and just feel like the world should be. The real reason for this all this AI world, AI evolution, it's not for advancement. It's not for advancement. It's to replace human being. The few human beings that do many, we don't need to. If we have a machine that can do the job, why do we need human beings? So bring them down. Maybe and I go on the plot. It's making sense to them. Yeah. I hope when we have I'm next meeting LFP or underground, we look at other security in other areas. Yeah? We have to look at security of body. You have to show that things the enemy has as weapons. Food security, air security. Now we are not aware of all of that. You're gonna be alive in your no, there's no gun after your head, yet somebody destroy you in the body. Children of Satan. And they have tied, they're working it. I'm telling you, I can't believe it. That is a plot to, you know, Africans have, except Nigeria, have raised so many doctors. The way we have shown out doctors in the world, no country in the world has shown out, maybe India. That's why when you get to the UK, get to US, Nigerian doctors are all over. And I know God did that as a preservation for Africa. I'm telling you. Because the whites, if you don't have if you have black in the medical world, white will wipe up blacks easily. Because we don't know jack. God is like, oh, why? Somewhere there, you're not just aware of God's wisdom in all this display. You are full of your craft. Yeah? I just got to know that they took statistics of doctors in Nigeria. Is that it? Doctors who are in the private practice. And they took details of many of them. That has to do with their fingerprint, many things about them. Because one devil is walking through one World Health Organization. I was hearing the man, one of the doctors involved, talking on this matter. I said, the exploit to reduce African doctors to barest minimum. But we are alive in the spirit, eh? Yes, I said, we are alive in the spirit. Yes, and they are sons of Ammon, all of them now. They dug the gallows. But none of their sons escaped it. Then you now know there's a God over creation. That human beings did not land here by organic evolution. That God placed nations on the earth here. Man is wicked. You know the least wickedness what we're seeing at this time, AK-47 is this wickedness. There are more wickedness across the world. It's only those who hate black nations. I'm not somebody who's mindful about race, all of that. But blacks have suffered on it. The high places of the earth are the habitations of cruelty. Wickedness reside here on the earth here. And that's why when you're in the Christian faith, you must understand that you are in a world that has never been seen on the earth here. The Christian world is the world that has never been seen in terms of sincerity and openness. That's why evil don't thrive last. Yeah. When you see false prophets, very soon you see them and they'll crash out. The land does not support evil. The Christian land. It doesn't. But let me know, it's not the land of the earth. It's from another world. Say amen. You will say that, but they are bad pastors. They could be bad pastors. But the system of Christianity does not support it. It does not support it. And because it means that not living by the land of his habitation, which is called Christ. Christ's life supply life to every being. Say amen. Amen. Are you in the house with him, please, today? So, fatherhood, it's not something that has ever been brought into realm of spiritual of fellowship of men on the earth here. No, it's not. No one, people talk about brotherhood without fatherhood. For example, every sect have brotherhood. We have Islamic brotherhood. I think you know that. Okay, they are occultic brotherhood. There are also call them fraternities. And maybe the one you have around us many years ago is the Brotherhood of the Cross and the Star. You know that one? Olumba, Olumba. Brotherhood of the Cross and the Star. So when you hear that one, it's just chaos. When you hear brotherhood, hey, Joe, is your brotherhood, Joe? But you can't have a brotherhood, really in a real sense, without fatherhood. It means we have of the same blood from a source. Is that not true? So, Christian faith brought down real reality. So, they are actually fraternities. They are not really brotherhoods. But there's very many fraternities and brotherhood. Let's check what is fraternity. Now, sometimes some of these things we talk about, it looks as if you were born a Christian and all your life, Baba wa Lorong. And it doesn't really connote knowledge to your heart. And it doesn't connote understanding, just what you meant. God, I said, God is not your father. You don't know the journey that we got there, that took man there. A fraternity means brotherhood. A club of male students, can you see that? At the college. So since it's a definition of the, this is the way, the word define brotherhood. I went in the house, please. And they also call it fraternity. But fraternity is not exactly as brotherhood. That's why for us to be brothers in Christ Jesus, a blood was shed for us. A blood identifies us that we're not just children born by our natural father, that we have connected to another bloodline. So it's not something we did by just a confession. Are you in the house? You know what I'm saying? Even in the occult world, the real fraternities, that are real fraternities, all still in view involve blood covenant. So something joined them. That's why covenant without blood is weak. If you don't start with blood, they will bring blood there along the line. Say, no, just join us. We don't have any problem. We're just a brotherhood of. Once you hear that, run. Run, oh. And we're just people of a business ideas who just come together and we're already a brotherhood. Along the line, they will bring blood in. Let's know it's more than just a mere business. It's a connection. It's an agreement in the spirit that spirits also validates. Because all of these things are spirits. If a thing is done and the spirit is not aware of it, then it's not really valid. Like you make agreement in court, it's only Nigerians that understand it. Spirits don't. So spirit can't punish you or aid you for breaking national agreement. That's why prison or court is what they put there to deal with your matter. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about what human cannot supervise, but spirit himself supervises it. Because they are aware that something happened. So when you get born again and you become a child of God, you may not know what happened to you. So in the radar of spirits, you don't know that you are getting from them, but you are still not away from the brother because you are not aware. I don't know what I'm saying. That's where they come in and harass you, and you wake up, you are afraid. You have been with them in the past. You have done things with them in the past. And you are still afraid. Because you are not aware of your new brotherhood. You are only aware of the... So sometimes you look at your confession is just mere... It's not mere confession. Something happened. What did I say? You are brought into another world, entirely speaking, where there is a supervising father over his children. That's why we're not handling a God, for example, a father, a God, who you have to do everything to prove. No, he's alive. And he's alive over his children. Amen. So we don't want to defend our father. No. Our father himself confirmed. Our father himself witnessed. Hey, we don't put peace upon him. Himself is peace be. We don't bless him, he's blessed. How do you put peace upon somebody who's peace himself? It's when somebody does not have peace that you put peace upon him. When you get to the house, you want to know, you say to that house, peace be upon this house. You are saluting the house to have peace to reside there. Because you have something in you that you can confer peace on the place. And if they are not going to receive you, then take your peace away. So if somebody already has peace, why do you have to put peace upon him? A man who has no peace, who live for violence, can never have peace. There's not much of peace to put on them that they're going to be peace. That's not a being of peace. Say amen. That's the meaning of salam alaikum. Hallelujah. Are you still here today, please? So say our father. So your father has many children. So children who through faith in Jesus come to that fellowship. Through Jesus is the way God takes children. If God wants to have a child, he look at Jesus. So faith in Jesus is the method that God used to take in the child to himself. And Jesus helps the father to raise the child to a point when the child can cry, Abba, Father. Because you can have a child that cannot cry, Abba, Father. You know what I'm saying? It's still a baby. For now, he cannot cry after his father. He can only cry after birth. All those ones there, if they are crying, it's not for father. What are they crying for? That's why their breast is with them. You know what I'm saying now? If their breast is there, we'll say, what are you doing here now? What's wrong with you? Go back with them. Or the child will call out the mother. He will call out his mother himself. If he's already walking and he's bored, he'll come and take his mother from fellowship. I tell my, I say, don't take the children's mind as love. No. They have not learned to love their... They only love their breast. And their lunchbox. Their lunchbox. They only love their lunchbox. Hallelujah. Who should you love as a woman? Who should you love? I can't hear you. Your husband. You take care of your children, but you love your husband. You don't transfer your love to your. Your husband gave you to him temporarily service. To serve for a short time and return back to where you belong. But sometimes women just go, they go on service and stay there. Just stay there. Oh my. Hallelujah. So, God, when you say brotherhood, say God kind of ordained fellowship. So it's not enough to believe Jesus. You have to come into the fellowship. So, those who hold the brotherhood are those who are in the fellowship. What does that mean? It means that they have seen the Father as their Father. Not only believe in it, the reality has been done on them to be inclined. You can see God as your Father and not see me as your brother very well. You are still managing to see. I'm saying that. You know, Mike is staying there. He's with Bola, all of that. Bola is from Ondo. I know him very well. From Benue State, from Ondo. Now, they know that they are children of God. But they may not know that they are of the same Father. Now, Michael can know God as Father. Bola can know God as Father. But they may not know God as our. So you're going to be struggling with really blending. There's a way when you meet your blood brother, there's a way, there's something in you that just connects somewhere there. You can sit down there and you don't even look at his face. There's something, there's a connection. If I'm there, I don't back in that place. He's the first one you first look at. He's the first one you look at. Because he's your brother. Because you have the same Father. So the fellowship is fellowship of those people who have seen God not only as their my Father, but who has God as their Father, our Father. That's why when they see a believer from India, that sense just connect. When they just talk and talk, it connects. Our Father. We have from the same source. But not the same source because we speak the same language physically. Say amen. But we have the same source because we believe in the same Jesus. And everybody that believes in Jesus have God as their Father. So when you say, I'm believing in Jesus, what does it mean? You have a Father. Who is our Father? So sometimes we go through the route of, I believe in Jesus, but I don't really see God. I'm not arguing against it, but I don't see the reality. I see the reality that I'm born of, that Jesus' blood was shed for me. I didn't see the reality that blood brought me into under the fatherhood of God, who has many children. That's why Paul said, do good to all men. Especially to them who are of the household. Now, it's not trying to tell you. It's just telling you what is normal. It's just telling you what is normal. But I still have to tell you because it's not all everybody that is aware of that. So it means that naturally speaking, when you're thinking about, I want to do something, the first people that should come to your mind is household of faith. Your brethren, because you have the same Father. Our lack, their lack is our lack. And our plenty, their plenty is our plenty. Just say, oh, that person, huh? How does he improve his business? That one, how does he improve his earning? How does it? And you have a very big family. It's easier to manage a family of three, right? And you still see how your siblings pull you here and there. Because for your sibling, if one is not answering, bro is not bro, very bro. For sibling, money is the definition. Your junior ones. Amen. Money is the language of acceptance. Bro, money. It's still bro, but bro, if bro is not dropping money. So it is not money first, it's first identity. And we have to solve that identity in our faith process, in our heart. It has to be there. As it moves through your local assembly, as with your brethren, knowing that you are also bigger than this. Huh? I want the house, please. We're bigger than this. Everyone in Celestia's church, for example, believe that God is Father. They may not understand it. They don't just worship God as king. They worship God as Father. Baba Jesu Christi. So if they don't speak your kind of language of grammar, you are still of the same Father, right? Yes, sir. They don't need to have a service style like your style. It's just basic by reason of Jesus. They are all children of God. And we should be able to enlarge our hearts. Say amen. Amen. Sometimes some doctrinal argument can make you lose that. Doctrinal issues does not come in here at all. Do they believe in Jesus? Do they believe in the sacrifice of Jesus? Do they believe that sacrifice make them God's children? That is basic. Because the blood is the instrument of our adoption. Say amen. Amen. Are you in the house with me, please? Praise God. Acts 15:29. Let me see that, please. That ye abstain from meat offered to idols and from blood. You can see that? You can see that commandment? From blood, because you are of a blood. Blood joins you, okay? And when you, so they were asked, basic things, never their belief should abstain from. Abstain from blood, abstain from things strangled. Are you there? What's the next one? Abstain from fornication. Because meat strangled retain blood. Can you see that? Blood straight is blood. Then fornication also is blood transfer. So the two of them are blood issues that connect you to spirits. So fornication is not just mere pleasure. It's a transfer of blood. And spirits acknowledge blood transfer. That's why all those things that make sex casual now in hookup things like that one is terrible blindness. Yes. Doesn't matter for what intention you did it, there's a transfer. It's not just body. Who says sexual sin is just body? No, your body, I say, it's a sin against your body. It's not like against your physical body. Knowing that your body is not only physical body, there's solical body, right? A man can forget, a woman cannot forget. No woman forgets, man is sleeps with. But that union lifts a memory. That's why they have found out that you can get the number of, how they call it in all this world? They say, what is your body count? Now they say body count. Can you see what Allah? Things that should be abominable, say body count. Say body count is just 5. Body count is 12. Yeah. They asked somebody that said, if you're going to ask forgiveness for any part of your body you have used most, can you imagine that quick question? An unmarried person was asked, if you're going to ask forgiveness for any of your body part that you have used most, which is the body part? Can you imagine? So you're comparing your body parts in terms of how much you use your hands. So some have used, they have used other body parts than how they use their hands. Can you imagine that? So they're actually worse than dogs. But it doesn't matter how much you do it so that there won't be memory of reality. It's a lie. All the body cells of all the men you slept with are in your body. Because each time something passed to you, it's a blood matter. Say, hey, man. It's blood. No civilization can invalidate spiritual realities. It cannot. As I flee fornication, everything that the man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. Not only just mere flesh. If it's against your body, for example, it's your body that should be judged. Why will you judge a soul for what the body commit? If it's just mere flesh. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. If it's just mere flesh. That's why some churches who are deceived, they don't talk much about sexual sin. That is a sin against your body. It's just against your body. When they want to, finish you, he brings a deception along a major truth. So in such system, I have been close to such system before. You don't report fornication. Yeah, you don't report it. The way people look at you, I say, where are you coming from? You don't report it. If you report it, you look like a sinner. Yes. That's how much they look away from me. Because that place deceived them. To say that it is sin against the body. So why will God judge fornicators? If it's against the body. You sin against your soul. Your soul is involved. Huh? He said in the 1 Corinthians 6. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. Eh? Have they not sinned against their body? Eh? They are not answering. Have they not sinned against their body? So why would they not inherit the kingdom of God? No idolaters, no adulterers, no effeminate, no abuser of themselves with mankind. So I was saying that basic thing is that you are aware of the fellowship of the sons or children of the Father. That's when you start coming under the hood. That's when the hood starts showing that you are representing the people. And you stand for the cause of your brethren at all times because they are your brethren. I went to the house together, please. Say, hey, man. So it's a kind of God-ordained fellowship of not only a kind of people, a people of different background who, through Jesus, become children of God. And by that, they are united by the Spirit. Can you see that? That's why if any man has not the Spirit of God, can you see that? He's none of his. So every child of God who is born of God have the Holy Spirit. So, does he see God as the Father? Does he have the Spirit? If you can see God as the Father, that reality is confirmed if he has the Spirit. That is, if he says, I see God as the Father, does he have the Spirit? There's a Spirit that the Father gives, I will in the house list, for those who are his children. Amen. And it's not just as simple as speaking in tongues. There must be something inside the heart of this person that keeps responding to faith life. Amen. That is why it's not, the churches don't quickly take somebody as into their brotherhood. Not because it says, I'm a Christian. Let me say it again. They don't, because they know, every church know who is a brother. That's where issue of church comes in. It means he has a Spirit, and that Spirit makes him to join himself to a local gathering. A has fellowship. Number one, with, through the Spirit, he has fellowship with the body of Christ. Eh? It's by one Spirit we drink into the same. We drink into the same Spirit by one body. So we are member of one body. Is that, am I talking with you? But it's called Christ's body. We are member by the Spirit. So if any man has not Spirit, there's no way to be joined. It's the Spirit that connects us together, right? Say amen. And by that same Spirit, that same Spirit places us in local churches with physical fellowship. So I can't just know a brother on the street. Every brother must be located to the local assembly. Can you see that? That means that someone on the internet we're talking about is a believer. I must be locating him. You should be talking to area of where you worship. Where the fellowship? Where the fellowship? That's for that proof that it is likely more as the brother. That's the family. That's why it's today you have people who have church members on online. You can't locate them to any assembly. They have problem with every assembly. No. They must take you, your soul, your spirit joins to the body of Christ. Say amen. Your soul is joined to the local church. To the local assembly. So I'm just trying to say that blood is what defines our fellowship. Just like an allot is one. Anybody who's joined to an allot is what? Is one with an allot. Romans 3:23. We're still in conflict, right? I'm just trying to stir your heart towards that meeting. Our bond must be stronger with one another because we are from the same Father. It's not based on physical look. You don't like somebody as your brother because of his look. You connect to your nature inside. Because if you are in a house and you have a sister, in fact, those people you love more in your house are those who are weaker. The other one in the family, who is SS? All the care of the family goes to that person. So anybody you have in the church who seems not to be strong financially, sometimes you are it's not even strong in outward look. You know what I'm saying? Should be more loved and more cared for. But an average church is like it doesn't show bloodline. In bloodline, those who are weaker are more cared for. If you have somebody who doesn't have one hand, for example, everybody provides how to help that person. Sometimes we have to wash his or her clothes, do many things to take care of her. That connection drives care. Doesn't make them run away from him. The same thing in church. Praise God. That's why in the place of real brotherhood, it's not a long profession. They are put up bring profession to church. When you just see them in church, you know that they are working in the same place. Doctor, engineer, banker. When they are coming, they wear the same clothes. Yeah. That thing, as much as, you're working together, there could be a little bit more closeness, but you must be mindful not to let it translate to the kind of a connection that others cannot join. I want to buy clothes now. Somebody starts to just say, I like that clothes. You know, it's only for 12 or so. Then a bed Jordan. So already, another thing, bloodline is already coming in. which is our profession. So, in a place where there's a real teaching of God's word, defining the real, because the problem is when people get born again, how who define that relationship determines how people operate it. When you're coming, you come with your flesh, your carnal nature, and it's still like that. Your carnal nature will define how things go. Student close to student, rich close to rich. Yeah? Those who are in the some places, millionaire take up millionaire. I'm saying, when you move to billion level, you also change level. What does it mean? It makes that stem weak. Power there is weak. What's our strength? Our strength is spiritual nourishment that comes from Christ. That's our strength. That's what defines how strong we are. We may not only be strong financially and be strong in the spirit. Why? Spirits cannot crash on us easily. They recognize that the people are bonded here. Sometimes you don't know how spirit sees you. You know, just like the way Balaam was seen Israel in their camp. Israel looked like a nation of people who were struggling for survival, you know, and the wilderness, and they're just trying to make progress, make movement, all of that. Their concern is survival. But in the spirit, they are king. The shadow of the king was in their midst. They are like lion couched. That's how they are in the spirit. So sometimes the way we look, let me tell you, strong churches, even Nigeria, and not the church on the internet too. Churches that spirits know that these people are terrible. They are not churches. Now, when you check those who live around them, spirits that live around them, I want to be So it's not natural things that define our strength. They build your church, Lord. Make it strong, Lord. Join our hearts, Lord, to your Son. Make us one, Lord, in your body, in the kingdom of your Son. I'm building a people of power. I am building a people of praise that will move through this land by my spirit. I will glorify my precious name. Build your church, Lord. Make it strong, Lord. Join our hearts, Lord, to your Son.
Make us strong, Lord,
in your body,
in the kingdom of our God.
As I open Romans 3:23, let me read 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be what? A propitiation through faith. Huh? Are you there with me? Faith where? Faith in his blood to declare his righteousness. So the first is faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. So, it's not that their sins have been remitted, but there's faith in his blood for the remission of sins. Through the forbearance of God to declare, I say, that's why it's possible, truly it's possible, that something happened that makes somebody who is from another church to leave your house. It's possible. And that does not still mean that it's not a brother. I don't know what I'm saying. As much as we trust God to want to have people to attend our meetings and we know they're going to be blessed, but sometimes we must be able to see something may happen that makes somebody just travel from somewhere down, which maybe it's your brother from home or your friend from whatever, they come to town and they have to stay in your house for a moment and it's not in your church. He has another church in town he attends. He can go to attend and still live in your house. And there should not be a sense of enmity against the person. We have to understand all this. So you can just allow things of the Spirit of God, of Christ, to do well. Because in being passionate for our church, sometimes we just lose sight of the body management. You know what I'm saying? Must not be righteous. Must be righteous, right? Say hey, amen. And you find out that by the time you let him be, he can change his mind. And he will do it more sincerely than your forceful conversion you want to do. Because art, over time, knows who loves him or her. It's time. They know if you have really loved sincerely or you love selfishly. Let me read to you. I think I should read to verse 26. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be the just, that he might be the just and justifier. So, I'm just trying to say, so it doesn't mean that he's actually much into the faith life that much, that he might be the just and justifier. And we are to be justified by Christ, by faith, you know what I'm saying? But the primary faith must be in the blood. That awareness of that blood of Christ is shed for me. And not only for me, for many. And that blood made all of us children of God. That's why Paul will get to anywhere and say, they will maybe the believers, and they will say they have not received the Holy Ghost. Say, why have you not received the Holy Ghost? It's the Spirit of our Father. Why have you not received the Holy Ghost? What's that? He won't say, believe after my gospel now. I'm an apostle. Make confession now of your faith. Then you feel the Holy Ghost. Just by their saying they are believers, it's moving them straight to the next thing. So it means that if they refuse the Holy Ghost, then it is now you can doubt their faith. I don't know what I'm saying. So you don't have to doubt their faith. It's not, you are not going to get them born again. Jesus get them born again. And that's not to be through you by all the time. So when people come to our meeting, come to our whatever, they don't see them as unbelievers. Eh? You invite them, okay? Receive them. They say we believe Jesus. If they sing with us, receive them. And we can now understand what is lacking in them. What's remaining? Let's find out if he's born again. He said he's born again. What's your problem? Can your blood cleanse his sin? He said he's born again. You believe Jesus? I believe Jesus. Go to jail. How does he enjoy? Maybe a man put on scarf. Okay, you can enjoy that. Or you wake up, walk in bed. Amen. I want the house, please. So that is the beginning of sin checking out. Doesn't mean that okay, we take him as a brother straight, he's a believer. But there are the things we will see that gives you parameter that is can be likely a brother. So it means that it's tied, we are tied by the blood, and he agrees with it. Okay? And he conducts his faith life in that manner. Hallelujah. Are we still okay, please? So it means that our identity is in the blood. We have a shared identity in the blood of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10, let's see 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood? That word communion is common union that we have in the blood. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body or common union of the body? So it means that blood is a union, okay? And that union brings all of us together. Let me read of same place 11, chapter 11 of same place. Verse 25. About the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." So it means that through the blood we have a common, I'm just trying to say, we have a common identity. That's why without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. That's Hebrews 9. Without the shedding. So shedding of blood is what brought remission of sin. So faith must be in the propitiation that is in the blood. Because we have the same bloodline by faith. It's not mere churchy thing. It's a spiritual thing. That's what I'm saying. You may not respond to it that way. You may not relate that way. But that is the reality of it. And in this season, the Lord will also bring that awareness to our heart. Eh? That we begin to relate like that. Like that. Like that. And almost all things are by the Lord purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So it's not our ethnic group, it's not our social status, it's the blood that defines us under our Father. And they say blood is thicker than water, be. Huh? So the blood that binds us is thick. It's not mere friendship. That's why brotherhood is. There can be friendship without brotherhood. But our friendship is based on brotherhood. Let me say it again. You can have friendship without brotherhood. That's why the Bible says, if anybody invites you who's an unbeliever to a feast, go. So you can have friends at work. Eh? I went to the house, please. Nice people, just nice to you, just nice. You may even be an understanding person. It doesn't mean you're just your brother. And that friendship status, the strength of it, is defined if it's for. That's why you married your Paul said, don't I have power to lead about a sister, a wife? What is that? Just to say, I don't have power to lead about a wife. So you don't know how important that reference is to the apostles. How important. So you are my friend, you are my brother, I'm a friend. You are my sister, my friend. That is when unholy passion, if you use that really by faith, unholy passion cannot come into that friendship. Because your brotherhood sanctifies you first. But when you go to friendship without brotherhood, other things can come in there and there can be trouble. That's when it's not the only one you like. Have you not power to lead about a sister, huh? A wife, as other apostles? So the primary thing you must settle first is your brotherhood. Then you can build on that. You can build friendship on it, okay? We believe in friendship. But we believe the foundation of brotherhood determines godly friendship. So your husband is your brother first, okay? Is your, let me ask you. Is your husband your brother first? Wives, is your husband your brother first? Okay, let me ask husband. Husbands, is your wife your sister first? That's why you don't count all the fault. When somebody is your sister, you don't count all the fault. That's what you for. There's a brotherly love that should define other loves you use. Or sometimes the other loves dry up. But that basic brother love does not dry up. That's the fire that burns again. It's not everything you can get your desire, I'm saying. What do you move to? Brother. Nothing will spoil that one. Anybody is your brother or sister, you don't want anything that's going to affect the person. You don't want to hurt the person. You want the best of the person. No, you're not getting the best you want from the person, but you want the best of that person. So I call them below the belt. You must not punch below the belt. The belt, your belt is brotherhood. No fight must go below it. So you don't scatter and yab. You don't yab. Because you don't yab a brother. You know what I'm saying? Say amen. Amen. At least in church, you just try your best not to yab a brother. You don't. So you don't, because you are not in the same, in just one room, you close the door. Let's talk to ourselves. Huh? No, you don't break brotherhood. You still speak courteously, respectfully. Quietly. Why? God is the judge. God is in your bedroom. That one, no face can judge, but God is the judge in that place. Amen. You understand that when those things run us, things don't go bad. And look as if we are perfect. That's what these are, laws are running us. You must not throw it down because your brother is ever your brother. The same thing happen in your house, in your family, and your brother is no more your brother, except you break the law of brotherhood. And Paul gave an example like that one. A brother who is in the fornication is breaking that brotherhood. Right? He's joining another blood. That is why we normally say that, like I said to all the older pastors in the house here, when you marry a sister, you marry a sister, your sister, who is also our sister. You know what I said? Lyra is your wife, is your sister, but it's also our sister. So you don't have all the right to do anything to her. We're going to ask you. So you can't say that nobody can check her in the house. It's my wife. No. It's also some people's sister. And those whom is his sister have right to come to your house. So you can't use marriage to own everything. No. You will be an infidel. So if you see her not looking well, you're going to ask, bro, can I shave your sister? Hey, Joe, can I shave your sister? You know, she's rough. She's going to do a child. Hey, Joe, sir, you know. What did I get here then? Hey, Joe, sir, can I shave your sister? You know, the older pastors in the church, you know, it used to be a lot of things, a lot of fun. You know, all of those people, they pull problem with their wala with themselves. Kill if she's sister. Kill if she's sister. Because, you know, then we emphasize a lot of brotherhood. You know what I'm saying? It's our sister. You can't just jab, you can't just do whatever you like with her. And also, it's our brother. You can't just do anything. We're going to ask you. Whatever you are doing with her or for her, you are doing that on our behalf. All of us cannot marry her. That's why we allowed you to marry her. So you marry her on our behalf. Amen. Hallelujah. I ought to trust God. God is going to enact that again. I'm telling you, across So when you see those older ones, the way they are close, are tied to themselves, you don't feel like, ah. Yeah, they are very close to themselves. But now I've written to you not to keep company with if any man that is called a brother. Can you see that? If you have taken him to be a brother. It means now we have seen him in our fellowship of the Spirit. We have seen the fellowship of the blood. Eh? We have seen fellowship of the Father. Our commitment to the Word. You see him committed to the Word. Then it can't be fornicator. Because the first thing that is removed from you when you join us is that spirit of fornication. So it's not something you grow over gradually, no. Except our fellowship is contaminated. That's when you are a fornicator and you move in and you still have the strength to go on. The brotherhood should sanctify you and make it look. And you do it again, you just feel like you feel can you die? Yeah? You don't have the freedom to do it like you do it before. It's not because that much of your faith, it's the brotherhood. So when brotherhood are really, really sanctified, then it cleanses everyone that joins them. So if any man that is called a brother, be forgiven, or covetous, or an adulterer, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, if already says the brother, with such an one, know not to eat. So this matter, so it means that when you are brought in the brotherhood, then actually you subscribe to the life of the brotherhood. Amen. You subscribe to the life. So if you have brethren in other churches who don't care about fornication, they can't be our brother. They can be believers. For them, one man judge is better than me. You know, one man judge is better than me. They will dupe you. Dupe anyhow. They are believers. But we can't recommend that it's a brother. See what I'm saying now? If we receive them as visitors, we treat them as a believer. Not a brother. See, you know that kind of thing? A brother, the house is open. Your children are their brethren. We talk and talk and talk and talk. We love, we love. We talk and talk. We're going to go and sleep and leave them. They are playing there. You know nothing go wrong. Eh? But for a believer, something can go wrong. So, when the Julala comes in. So if he's a brother, he should not be a fornicator. So we're celebrating that brotherhood that separates us from the world, okay? That separates us from the flesh, from sin, that keeps us in the fellowship of the Spirit. When we are committed to each other in the Spirit. So that makes us participate in a spiritual fellowship and also natural interaction. We participate in a spiritual fellowship. What does it mean? It means that as we're here, we connect to the entire body of Christ. That's why when things are happening away from this, from our meeting that is spiritual, it's also flow to us. It's not we pick it, either we pick it in the Spirit or pick it by somebody among us importing it in. See what I'm saying? Because we are open to the fellowship. So, if a song is sung by winners and is spiritual, it flows in easily. If it's sung by redeemed, sometimes we don't even know who sang it. From the flow, we know it's our song. Huh? Amen. I'm sure that, I don't know who sang, I'll make room for two. You and I, Jesus, you are all that matters. And you are all that matters. I'll place you in front of my melody. You are all that matters. You are all. So we don't screen it and say, you don't want to orient the locals. No, there are churches that don't allow you to sing any song outside their own song. You don't sing any other song outside their song. That is not brotherhood. In brotherhood, there was a free flow of pure spirit. If there's any reason why the globe is not flowing, that spirit is not pure. You just say, like another song. They sing about ya, oh mama. Mommy, oh, I will, Mommy, oh, I just mama. And then, Otto. That's it. That's it. To even be able to sing it through. In your die. Just so that mommy can play like you. Or a bruku. So. Amen. So there's, but that one is even looks, some other songs. Eminima, Coco Jerry Sagbara, Oluwa. Eminima, Eminima, Eminio, Eminio, Emini. Emini number one, E1 in number two. Oh my. So. All those things are against our brotherhood. Things that does not edify us, does not edify your spirit, does not empower the spirit, does not engender the communion, the fellowship, all of that. And it's because the people are not taught. They are born again, but they're not taught. So they cannot function within the boundary of the brotherhood. So if they raise such song, we won't sing it. By the time they are meeting and they raise it, I will close my ear and they finish it. I don't want to hear it. Say, hey, man. I went to my house, please. So I know we have a lot of songs, spiritual song, right? We have a lot of songs. Every believer comes to our church, they can sing more easily. When they don't even know the song, they like what they hear. Because it's Testament. It's New Testament. That is what strengthens our brotherhood. If all churches are doing that, we'll be stronger. Because there are churches, I refer to songs from CNS. Like this song we sing normally here is from them. Lenin Jesu ko Senegal. Oba mi ma lo ba ti mo nsi leyin Jesu ko se me ka o ala mara momo. So we have songs like that. So it doesn't care. I don't care about where. Okay, it's a sadness. They also have their remember at their time, and they are part of the body of Christ. So when we do that, what are we doing? We are strengthening our brotherhood. You must sing song that is not only written by us. Amen. So each time you do that, the Lord is happy. Why? We are strengthening our brotherhood. Ibabo obere lodo wa. A obere babo. We're not the one that began it. So we can all say we have everything. But where we are standing is because of how many places, how many fluid has come to the body. I think you know that I have Baba Kumu inside of me. I think you know that. We can't just refer to all we learn from them. They are all their contribution. Can Hagin and all of that. We follow them. We read their books. We follow the streams that flow through them. So today, whatever we are doing is a product of all the mixer. Makes us up. So we can't get there and knock the door against all they have contributed. No. No, it will be wrong. That would be a sect. Say amen. As if you are born from another world. No. We are using the supply of Jesus to the body from the beginning. Apostolic mantle flow from the first generation to where we are today. Nobody has a new mantle. It's a mantle used before that passed to you. It's the same mantle. Passed like that, passed like that, passed like that, passed like that, too. But then it passed like that. It's the same mantle. Praise God. And so that's how we strengthen our brotherhood. And so we have to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond. And we want to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. I call it endeavoring. That you have to put demand on your spirit. Or else you have tenderness. Exactly when you have, when you also have supply of God flowing through you. When you are also a kind of resource person of the spirit. If you are not careful, you will be centered on your own alone. Yeah. So you must be, it's good to endeavor. That should be the earlier part of this, so endeavor. To keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. I like that word, endeavor. What's endeavoring? Putting demand, striving, making sure, and be intentional. Amen. I want the house, please. It is easier for you to flow with New and Living Way. It's easier for you to flow with Love Seal. It's easier for you to flow with City Gate. That does not mean that you have exhausted your brotherhood love. I said, let brotherly love continue. So it can discontinue. So there are things that can make it discontinue. So let it continue. So it's going to involve endeavor. Come on, say endeavor. Endeavor, endeavor, endeavor. So we participate in that spirit. So that makes us to get to the place where we are followers of churches. So a brother is a follower of churches. You must have an idea of what is going on in other places. So you have your primary assembly you follow. Amen. Are you in the house, please? You must also know, have an idea of what is going on in other places. That's okay. First is learned true. Is it 14? For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which is in Judea. Are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen. So they knew what the churches in Judea has gone through. They are aware of their tribulations, their problems. They should be aware of the problems of the churches in the north. Huh? Should be aware of them. You should be aware of them. You should check on them and see what is going on. Somebody sent the message to me was yesterday and said, the Boko Haram sent the letter to their local government that they are coming. And I have to pray for them there. I have to pray for them. Pray for his family. Pray for them there. And yet, I'm still looking at what could be done. Doesn't mean that they may have to relocate from the place or their family. I'm just thinking about that. So you must be aware of what your brethren are going through in other places. Amen. So you are followers of, followers. Let me read that one that is now. Okay. Let me read from 14 to 16. Let me see 14, 15. Let me see 15 of that place. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophet and have persecuted us and they pleased not God and are contrary to all men. 16. Forbidding to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up the sins, their sins away. For their wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. So longing to, amen. Wanting to see what God is doing in other places. As I normally say, I say, we don't know believers. We don't know how many villages where believers are in the north. We don't know. We don't know them. We don't know what has been the face of church in the north. We don't know. Well, it's only a few things we hear. So when you see them, you're going to nearly break down and mourn. But we don't know. Praise the Lord. There's a way when you see some problems, there's a way you pray with intensity. That's more than when they are just trying to, when you are just hearing on. But no news will tell you what happened. I didn't know that. You can never get the state of matter from news. News will always dress it and not make it look bad. But even I think Facebook does not allow you to show some pictures. They won't allow you to show some pictures on Facebook. There are things when you see them, you feel like you will lose taste of food. And those people are your brethren. Okay? I went to the house place. So we celebrate that brotherhood. We celebrate the care for our brethren. Care for our God's people that are all over the places. We celebrate our connectivity to them. That we know that they are there. We know that they are going through things there. We pray for them. We want to feel after what is going they are going through. And there's any way we can help them. We want to see how to help. As the Lord give us strength, that's a thing I've seen in the future that we should do. As the Lord give us strength. Say amen. Amen. I tell you, if it's not out of place to see two churches in there and see how they thrive, how to help them. Because there's more money on this side than the north. I didn't know that. There's more money on this side. If you're a missionary in the north, you are only a dead man. Sometimes people are missionaries in places where there's no school. Their children have to be homeschooled. Yet, they are our brethren. Okay? Say amen. So that is the brotherhood. So you have to see it largely like that. As we celebrate that the Lord is going to help us to keep the brotherhood. To keep the love of the brotherhood. Understand? There's no place we can arrive at charity without that. You know what I'm saying? That's the gateway to charity. That's why it says, add to your faith. Virtue to virtue what? Knowledge to knowledge what? Temperance. So temperance what? Patience. So patience what? Godliness. So godliness what? Brotherly kindness. Then to brotherly kindness what? Charity. So it's the gateway to charity. God will strengthen us, okay? Amen. God will empower our understanding and open us to relate, to build up a stronger relationship as we celebrate this feast this year. It will really be a feast that the Spirit will look down and they will come to dwell with us more than ever before. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one body. And the body has many members. Universally, it's only one body. Across the whole universe, there's only one body called Christ. And we are members of that body. Billions of believers, members of that body. And our mind must not be that we meet in heaven. No. On the earth here, we must share that brotherhood and sometimes take commitment and care that comes from it. As the body is one and earth many members and all the members of that one body, be many are one. Can you see that? Be many are one. Those who are in Pakistan. Huh? One body. Some of them they are in this. What is this country? Where American left? Afghanistan. That's another terrible place. I mean, terrible jungle. And there are believers there. There's hardly any place on the earth when you say it's terrible. We still find some believers there. China, they are there. Hallelujah. That's why we take time every morning to pray for the church, Nigeria and globally. It's a place to keep reminding us that we're not few, we are many. Amen. And I just say, let's every day, let's be, as much as we pray for our need every day, you pray, you know that I'm going out today, Lord, go with me. Let's also put it there. And remember that though we are one body, but many members, and they are spread universally. And I tell you, many things you do here, you don't know what church somewhere there, get impacted by it. I've heard people say, we stream your meeting. Just one person there in Pakistan is following your meeting. And it's a strength to them. It's a, you know, it's edifying them, giving direction to them. Yet they have never met you before. So even without a medium of communication, spirit word itself is open. Things we do here affect somebody's open. As long as you have the heart towards it, you just see a flow. I have been somewhere before and you see an idea and it's like the idea God told you last year. And you see somebody else just implementing it. Have you been there before? Or you are thinking about the thing to do and somebody just came and you just came somewhere. It's just been done. So it means as things are universal in the soul, so also they are universal in the spirit. For us, what we have together in the spirit are spiritual universality. Okay? Other ideas are solica universality. That's why you can't say an idea is your own. Only that you are the one that subscribe to it. See what I'm saying? Yeah, that's why somebody say something about you, you know what to be done. Don't hold back. Very soon, just somebody do it beside you. It's exactly. It means you're not the only one God is discussing with. God is just looking for who will obey. Praise God. And so also in the spirit, wealth of the spirit are in the spirit. When I say in the spirit, we're also in the spirit. I think you know we're in the spirit. So we have wealth in the spirit beyond what you can see with your eyes this way. But our brotherhood connects us in there to fellowship in there and to draw from it. I want to believe God that at the end of a conference this year, we'll be more resourceful. Amen. Things that we never have access to will flow to us. Because of our openness, because of our willingness, our readiness, because of our yieldedness, because of our enlarged heart. And sometimes we must not be straightened. And now we're straightened. We must not be myopic. We must have a large heart. Because the heart of Jesus is large. A heart that is thinking about every person in all places as the heart of Jesus. So by the gospel, so like Paul said, ye are not straightening us, but ye are straightening your own boy. That was straightened is ye are myopic. No myopic. You see with a small goggle lens. The main things we have problem with is because we are myopic. Our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not strengthened in us, but are strengthened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak unto my children, be ye also what? I can hear you, please. Be enlarged. And enlarge is not trying to enlarge yourself. It's knowledge that will enlarge you. It's understanding that will enlarge you. Be enlarged. Or have a larger worldview. A perspective of understanding. So that things does not shut you in quickly. You know some people, those who are myopic, things shut you down easily. But if somebody does not pray the way you pray, you are shut down. Not everybody will pray the way you pray. I know you know the way you pray here is because of the house you are in. Eh? If you're in another place, that's not the way you are. One of the way people pray, sometimes I was the chanting prayer. Hey, 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 this generation of children. Hey, 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 amen. So when you meet them, just let them be. Let them be. And just do your own. Mashkapali baharos kapad. Authorance. That's authorance. Later on, after they have expired, they are, hey, you know what I'm saying? They'll find a more excellent way. You know what I'm saying? They'll find a more excellent way. Shant 12 hours. Hold the pole. Okay, there are reps. So the issue is understanding, okay? It's understanding. Understanding. Now you want to get things done. You want to get things done. It's the way you know to get it done. It's the way you know. That's why wisdom is justified by children. So many of these things does not make us different. And we must have largeness to accommodate for those differences. You know what I'm saying? Why we don't leave what we are doing because we understand why we're doing them. But we must have that to accommodate for differences. Or is that the one that will shout, you are set, you are not in the body of Christ, you are not in the body of Christ. And they are the one that bring most behavior that does not make them in the body of Christ. Because no generation has ever done, hey, hey, ah. No, it's a Gen Z thing. There's no church generation. I can refer to and with a praise, hey, ha, 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 hey, ha, hey, ha. It's not being the church. Now, the first I will tell you are a sect because you teach us something of the soul. Praise the Lord. So we should understand and accommodate them, okay? Be enlarged. Don't be straight, okay? Don't be myopic. Be enlarged. Let knowledge give you largeness, give you understanding. But that is needed to keep our brotherhood. If you are myopic, you won't keep our brotherhood. You will offend it. Amen. Are you blessed tonight? So we'll build more on this one. I know that Friday is just I just felt today that let's just start talking about so that I don't want the feast to meet us with corn. Let it meet us in the spirit. Praise the Lord. Can we bless the Lord today? I appreciate the Lord for.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.